Hey, this is Scott, and you're listening to What Was That Like? New episodes with guests telling their amazing stories are every other Friday, but today we have the Tuesday question. In the podcast Facebook group, we have a new thought-provoking question every Tuesday, and it generates some really interesting and sometimes deep discussions. We'd love to have you join us. Just go to whatwasthatlike.com/Facebook. But if you're not in that group, we bring it to you here in a short episode every Tuesday. We dig into the group archives and find one of the past Tuesday questions that we've discussed. Then Meredith and I answer that question, and we talk about some of the answers that came from other listeners. And if you love this one, wait till you see what we have for you next Tuesday.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
How are you? How are you today?
I am doing great today.
Good.
So, all right, we ready to talk about prison?
Let's do it.
Okay. The question is, you earn $1 million tax-free for every full year you spend in a maximum security prison. How long would you stay?
I would stay 1 year under the advisement of our mutual friend, Ardap Dan.
Ardap Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember him. He was on episode 51. It's called Dan Preps People for Prison. That was a really interesting episode. And I remember people loved hearing that too, because everybody's scared, you know, and he talks to people that are, it's the first time, they're white collar criminals. And you had him on your show as well. Which episode was that?
That was 220. And it was so fun to listen to both of those, you know, to hear your episode with him. He talked about how he showed up on the day he had to surrender for prison in basically a prisoner costume with the white and black stripes and the funny hat.
Yeah, a Halloween costume.
Yeah. Halloween costume. He is such a character. Yeah, I just loved that story, especially how he shared afterwards how the prison staff shared that they thought it was really funny, but they couldn't disclose that it was, they thought it was funny in the beginning.
They had to maintain that image. Yeah,
yeah,
that's right.
And then on my conversation with him, he shared about how he had this crazy reconnaissance scheme that he was assigned to before opening the pain clinic in Georgia, how his boss sent him to Jacksonville, and there was two of them, one in a hotel and one in a car, and they had walkie-talkies. And when they would see someone come into the hotel with out-of-state plates that they had gone to the pain clinic across the street, then the guy in the car would run them down and tell them, hey, next time, don't come here to Florida. You need to go to Georgia and it'll be closer. Hmm. And basically was like strong arming them to become clients of the new pain clinic in Georgia. And that was, that was wild to me. I was like, yo, Dan, that was like your red flag, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's kind of grassroots marketing there.
You know, guerrilla marketing, I think. Yeah. But now I think the work that Dan does is very interesting, and I would definitely want his consultation before going into prison for a year. And then after getting out, I would definitely start a podcast and try to get a book deal, at least a TED Talk. I mean, it would be a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I thought about this, and I probably would have done a year, maybe when I was younger. But honestly, prison is one of my phobias. But from what Dan says, most people imagine it to be a lot worse than what it really is. But I don't know, he's dealing with white collar criminals.
Yeah.
And so I guess it kind of depends on which, I mean, the question said a maximum security prison. So you're going to be in there with some really bad, bad people. So I don't know. I'd really have to, I wouldn't do it now, but maybe when I was younger, I mean, for $1 million, I'd probably do a year.
Yeah. $1 million tax free.
It's actually $1 million. Mm-hmm. But I would wonder, would I be the same person at the end of that year?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And what about your relationships? Because you don't think a year is that long, but if you've ever been away from a friend or a lover for, you know, a few weeks, it just feels like an eternity.
And of course, some people go in and without any lovers and they meet somebody. So, you know,
they gain lovers.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I kind of liken it to some people spend 20 or 30 years going to a job they hate every day. And they're just trading time for money. And that's just how they're spending their whole life. And that's, you know, there's some similarities there.
And Dan said that prison for him was really transformative and that it is for a lot of people. So it would be an opportunity on the one hand to really set some very clear intentions for your year in there. I would love to do like interviews. Well, of course I would while I was in there. Maximum prison mm-hmm. probably wouldn't allow for recording devices, but you know,
telephone.
This is all a thought experiment anyway.
I've heard of a podcast where he makes the phone call to a prisoner and
really
they tell their story. I think they only get like 15 minutes for a call or something, so they have to do it in chunks. But that would be kind of interesting too.
Would you ever interview someone who was in prison?
Sure. And you know what? I know some places you can take recording devices in. So yeah, that might be an interesting little adventure. Okay. Well, let's see what some of the listeners said. I have one here that says, I wouldn't for $1 million, but there's definitely an amount of money out there that I would give up a year of my life for. If it meant no one in my family would have to struggle financially, it would be hard to say no. Unfortunately, $1 million isn't very much. And that's kind of true, too.
I know. I hate how right this person is, because when you're a kid, $1 million sounds like a trillion, mm-hmm. but $1 million right. doesn't go very far. If you think about it, half of that is basically a house.
But what I love about this is that line that says, if it meant no one in my family would have to struggle financially, this person is willing to give up a year of their life and spend it in prison for family. That, I think, is the real shining light in that answer.
I think that if that was me and I was that noble of a person, it would come with a heavy caveat to my family members. I'm like, all y'all are taking financial management classes before I give you this money.
Or you could handle it for them, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I took Financial Peace University twice with my husband.
And Dave Ramsey.
Dave Ramsey, yes.
Yeah. Beans and rice.
Oh, yep. My gosh, yeah. I don't agree with everything that he does, but his Financial Peace University class is very effective, and we took it twice. And so I think I would be like, okay, you have to pass that class. I need to see a certificate, and I need you have to like answer certain questions, and then I'll give you my prison money.
I think it sounds like you would have so many caveats, they'd probably say, okay, just keep it.
Yeah. Right. That's true. Okay. So the second one, they say, nope. Not one day. I don't think Dante's Inferno captured the extent of the cruelty in our carceral system. And I also think this is very true. My husband's cousin did 11 years, and he was at a maximum security prison for part of that. And it was at Baker State Penitentiary. Mm-hmm. And one of his cellmates at one point murdered his toddler by drowning the kid in the toilet. And that's who he was bunkmates with. Yeah. So I think this listener is not wrong, because of the maximum security part.
That's a key factor in the question. Yeah. But then, you know what I wonder, though? If it's so terrible, why is it not a deterrent for so many people? You know, they spend years in prison, they get out, and and they end up back in. There's so many people that go back. Mm-hmm. You would think if it's that bad, they would want to avoid it.
Yeah, it is so...
I know there's a lot of factors involved.
Oh my gosh, there are so many factors. And we forget that our justice system isn't really all about justice. It's about that cheddar. So they're making money. And so, like, for example, in the state of Florida, which is where you and I reside, when you get a DUI, there are many, many fees after that. And like when you go to court, for example, even if you don't have an attorney, going to court costs you $1,000. $1,000. Now you might be thinking, now what do our tax dollars pay for then? Great question. So that's just one example of a long chain of fees that are associated with this. Now, if you don't pay the fee, then you are violating your probation. What happens when you violate your probation? You get arrested. And when you leave prison, you actually owe money in the state of Florida. I can't speak for everywhere. And if you don't pay the money, then you're in violation of your probation. How do you pay the money when you can't get a job because you have a record? And mm-hmm. in most cases, you are released from prison in, maybe not most, but in many cases, you're released in the same area that you committed the crime. So you're back with all your old triggers, et cetera. You have to have a place to live. You have to have a means of transportation. You have to have a job. You got to do these random parole officer meetings, and they're not on Zoom. They're in person. So if you have unreliable city transportation like we do in my town, then that's a real problem. So it's almost like they are waiting at your door for you to mess up. It is bananas. And then, you know, tie into that, maybe you were sexually assaulted in prison and you have trauma and you're using substances to, you know, numb that pain. So there's layer upon layer of these nuances that really make it a very lucrative financial plan for the people that profit from prisons. So it's really mm-hmm. not about justice, and it's not just about rehab or whatever. So it's easy to see the recidivism rates and go, oh, you know, what a bunch of fuck ups. But really, it's like, it's kind of meant for you to get retrapped in your own misgivings over and over again. So yeah, it's sticky.
The odds are against you.
The odds are against you. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. So hopefully in this hypothetical situation, we wouldn't be getting $1 million, but owing the state money and having a probation officer, because that would be probably a deal breaker for me.
Right. Yeah. And none of that was included in the question. So once you get out, you resume
your
life. We'll assume that. Yeah.
Let's assume that. Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to read the next one?
All right. It says, I would say 1 to 2 years giving away time for money is like a military deployment, but there you won't get shot. And I think the food is even better. So he's saying food in prison is better than food in the military. I know neither one of them is going to be, you know, a Michelin star restaurant, but I just can't imagine it would be very good. But military, why would food be so bad in the military? I was never in the military, so I have no idea.
I was never in the military either, so I don't know either. So I can't even comment on that. The only thing that I noticed from that was that this person was really taking like a mindset approach to it. You know, like you would just, when you deploy, you have a certain mindset. That much I do know mm-hmm. just from being around military families. Like you just, whether you're on the home front or you're the person being deployed, you just change your mind. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I picked up from that response, but that's a great question about the food.
Okay. So you're going to read the fourth one.
Yes. This person says, one, if I can make it, it would take me so much longer at my job to earn that. Then I can share about the experience on the What Was That Like podcast. I spent a year in prison for $1 million. Now that's a great title and a wild story to share. I think this person's just brilliant. They understood the assignment.
Yes.
Bravo, sir or ma'am.
and I would want that story. That would be a fun one. But I'd also want to know, did they regret making that choice at the end of the year? And was it worth it? You know, it sounds like it might be worth it now, but after a year, And we know what would be the worst case is you get like 8 months and you just, I can't take it anymore. And then it was all for nothing. Yeah. You don't get prorated $1 million. So.
Although that would be an, oh my gosh, we just made the best reality show. Like every day that you stay in maximum security prison, you get, you know, however many hundred of dollars. And then whoever makes it to the end gets to keep everything. But if you bow out early, maybe you lose it.
That would be fun. Instead of Survivor Hawaii, it's Survivor Prison.
We'll call it Million Behind Bars. I like it.
Okay. If there are any Hollywood people, we're standing by for the phone call.
We are waiting and ready. All right. Until next time.
See you next time. If you want to check out the current Tuesday question that everyone's discussing, head over to whatwasthatlike.com/Facebook and join in the conversation. Big thanks, as always, to my co-host and producer, Meredith, for putting this episode together. You know she has her own podcast, right? It's called Meredith for Real, The Curious Introvert. And I can tell you she's definitely curious because a lot of times she and her guests have conversations about things you don't normally hear talked about. Her website is MeredithForReal.com. And if you like hearing firsthand stories of people who've gone through something really unusual, that's exactly what we do right here on What Was That Like every other Friday. Just hit the subscribe or follow button right there on your podcast app, and you'll never miss an episode. I'm Scott Johnson. Stay safe, and we'll see you next time.